Better enforcement of existing wildlife laws is one way to help reduce the illegal wildlife trade in Southeast Asia. Eliminating demand would, of course, stop the trade cold. Neither is going to happen anytime soon. In the meantime, Thai authorities have set up a series of protected parks in hopes of keeping what wildlife remains. Completing a National Geographic radio expedition series, NPR's Michael Sullivan reports how that effort is going and what it means for the rest of the world when wildlife disappears.
Thailand's Kangrachan National Park is a three-hour drive southwest of Bangkok, just a few miles from the border with Myanmar. Early one recent morning, a hike deep into the jungle of the park with a researcher for the Wildlife Conservation Society, Dusit Nyoprasuk. He's on his way to change the film in one of his camera traps, a device developed to capture photos of wildlife passing by using an electronic eye connected to the shutter. The trap, at roughly ankle level, is swarming with ants. But inside the elephant-proof housing, the camera appears to be okay. Dusit has more than 30 cameras in this particular stretch of forest to help him discover how human traffic in the park is affecting the wildlife here. This park, he says, is home to an amazing variety of wildlife, some threatened or endangered, which he's been able to capture on film.
I found 28 mammoths in my area. So I got the tiger, leopard, golden cat, leopard cat, large Indian civet, bear, Asiatic black bear, hot badger, elephant, deer, samba deer, everything.
So basically anything that is in this park comes through here. You catch on your trap.
Right.
The variety makes the park especially attractive to poachers. This fact is not lost on the Thai government, which has made protecting the park and a few others like it a priority. Roughly 200 rangers patrol the park to discourage poaching. Lately, the rangers are employing a new tool to help them in their task. In a program that began just a few months ago, rangers are now using elephants to help them patrol the large area assigned to each park substation. The large animals move at a leisurely pace, stopping often to grab a nearby branch with their trunks or scratch their backs on a sturdy tree. Two rangers ride on top of each animal. Bunchu Noitim is the chief ranger in this part of the forest.
The elephant project use elephant to help during patrol because sometime in the raining season, car cannot come into the forest. So they use elephant to carry their food or equipment into the forest with the rangers.
Noitim says it's too early to say how effective the Bangkok-ordered program is, but it's obvious he doesn't think much of it. The massive chains around the elephants' necks, used to tether them to trees at night, make enough noise to alert any would-be poachers who might be nearby. What he really needs, Noitim says, is more rangers. On a dirt road a few miles away from where the rangers and their elephants are patrolling, a man named Pra Wing kneels close to the ground in the early morning rain, examining fresh droppings in the middle of the road.
Pra Wing, what is this?
It's small Indian civet.
Is the small Indian civet something that poachers come here to find?
Yeah, it's for food, yeah.
Few know more about killing animals better than Pra Wing Gim Khat. The wiry 41-year-old hunted for decades, first as a subsistence hunter, augmenting his family's diet, later hunting animals for money, some endangered, some not. Now he works for the Wildlife Conservation Society, trying to convince other hunters to give up the trade.
Kill every animal that he found. Python, snake, mouse deer, civet, muntjac, deer, gibbon, monkey.
And many elephants, yes?
Yeah, 60 to 70 elephants he has killed. The first time he said somebody told him you should stop kill the animal because it's gonna extinct in the future. He didn't understand. Everybody come to talk to him about this, and he understand why we have to conserve the animal now.
But why? What do we really lose if some animals become extinct? Plenty, according to wildlife scientists, and no one makes this argument more passionately than Alan Rabinowitz, Director of Science and Exploration for the Wildlife Conservation Society and a lecturer at the recent enforcement workshop in Bangkok.
Each individual species has its particular ecological role in the entire web in the forest. Taking one piece of the puzzle out makes an incomplete puzzle. It's never a complete picture, and that incomplete picture ensures an imbalance.
Wildlife, Rabinowitz argues, often acts as a buffer between diseases that occur in the wild and human populations, keeping the diseases in check by keeping them away from people.
It keeps everything in control. And that when we go in and we either wipe out a forest or we create an empty forest, which is having the sheen of a pretty forest, but all the wildlife is gone, we're completely throwing out of whack that ecological balance. Whenever we investigate further as to why all of a sudden things are occurring, like a pestilence, like a disease, we clearly go back to natural issues. To these things having been in nature already, but having been kept in control by healthy forests and healthy wildlife populations.
The cat-like civet, for example, has been linked to the recent SARS outbreak, which began in southeastern China, a key destination for much of the illegal wildlife trade from Southeast Asia. Rabinowitz wonders, why now? Even if he's right, few believe the trade will end anytime soon. Better enforcement would certainly help. Rabinowitz and others argue that governments in the region do care about the problem, but it's a question of priorities. More money for wildlife enforcement may mean less money for development programs that are more popular and surer vote-getters. Back in Khang Krachan National Park, field researcher Dusit Nyoprasser agrees better enforcement would help. But all the rangers and all the money in the world, he says, won't mean much as long as there are people who want to buy.
Poaching stop when the demand stop. If not have the person buy the tiger skin, the hunting will stop.
There will be no traders. There will be no hunters.
Yeah. Poaching stop when the demand stop.
For Radio Expeditions, this is Michael Sullivan, NPR News.
Radio Expeditions is a co-production of NPR and the National Geographic Society. There are photographs and more information at npr.org.